take the cases in order, except that after United States v. Hernandez, we will hear Safe Air for Everyone v. Meyer. The first matter, United States v. Pedroza, has been submitted on the briefs, and we will take up United States v. Hernandez. You may begin.
May it please the Court, opposing counsel. My name is Robin Hammond, and I am here on behalf of Pedro Hernandez today. We are here today because of yet another Apprendi violation. In this case, what happened is Mr. Hernandez was sentenced. His sentence was overturned by this court. He was resentenced. And at the resentencing hearing, the defense had the opportunity to make objections for the record specific to the Apprendi violations that occurred in this case. The defense did that through both sentencing memorandum and oral objections made at the resentencing hearing. So this case is a unique Apprendi violation case in the sense that we are here today with the benefit of harmless error review. That being said, it's Mr. Hernandez's position that his Apprendi violation...
What's left of his Apprendi violations?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I don't quite understand what's left of his Apprendi violations.
Well, the Apprendi violation that remains...
After our first opinion in the case.
Yes, Your Honor. And the Apprendi violation that remains is the fact that the actual drug amount that was determined by the district court does not correlate with that which was found by the jury verdict.
There's a different process, though. The judge was determining quantity for purposes of the guidelines, not for purposes of determining the statutory minimum.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Wasn't he sentenced within the statutory maximum?
He was sentenced.
So if he was, then there's no Apprendi issue at all.
Well, he was sentenced within the statutory maximum if you look at the way that stacking was assigned here.
But I thought that Apprendi, I realize you're trying to argue against the stacking rule that we set in Buckland, but putting that to the side, that for each count he was sentenced within the statutory maximum, and so it seems that Apprendi has no application.
Well, Your Honor, it's the defense position that Apprendi does have application here because the district court did not follow the jury findings. The jury findings merely found a trace amount of marijuana. The jury was not required to find a specific drug quantity. And so what that does is it brings the jury decision under the guise of Section 841B1D, which puts the maximum quantity on the jury finding per count at 49 grams. And it's our position that we can...
But the jury's verdict will only support a maximum sentence of 5 years, and here it's 10 years because they had a prior offense.
Correct, Your Honor.
It has nothing to do with the amount.
It's nothing to do with the amount? The
jury
sorry.
Didn't find a specific quantity.
Right.
So it found a detectable amount or a trace amount, as you just said. So as a result, the jury's verdict would only support the sentence under 841B1D, which is 5 years. Nobody disputes he has the prior, so it's doubled to 10 years. That's the maximum statutory sentence. Then to calculate the guideline range for that statutory maximum sentence, you go to the guidelines and you look at the quantity. The judge has to determine the quantity. I think here he determined it was 1,000 kilos, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And then you do the chart and the calculations, you come up with the quantity. Then the judge stacked them here.
That's correct. But when the judge made that determination, when the judge found the 1,000, the quantity being 1,000, he went beyond what the jury had actually found. And the jury, although...
Well, I think that was okay in Buckland.
Well...
En banc opinion in Buckland.
Well, in Buckland, again, is plain error review. Essentially, the difference here is twofold. First of all, we have a different error. We have a different standard of review, being harmless error. And secondly, what happened is we can, in fact, pinpoint the jury verdict to a drug quantity by statute. The jury finding as to drug quantity by statute per count is a maximum of 49 grams.
And why so, is that? There was no specific finding. The jury wasn't given a special verdict form, was it?
Well, no, it wasn't. But the jury found a trace.
Did the indictment allege a specific quantity?
The indictment did allege a specific quantity.
What did the indictment allege?
Excuse me?
What did it allege?
Well, I believe it alleged over 1,000. And I can't give you the exact amount. I apologize. I'd have to refer to the briefs and the record for that. But what the jury finding did, because it failed, because the jury was not instructed. In fact, in this case, as this court pointed out at the previous in the previous opinion, the jury verdict, the jury instruction specifically said that the jury did not have to find a quantity beyond a reasonable doubt. And so you take that and apply it to this 841b1d, which limits a jury finding within that range of trace amount to 49 grams. And then adopting Judge Hugg's proposal in his dissenting and concurring opinion in Buckland, but here having the benefit of harmless error review, I think this Court can say.
We can't follow, Judge, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we cannot follow former Chief Judge Hugg's dissenting opinion rather than the majority opinion. That's why they called it a dissent.
And
the majority opinion said there's no problem with the stacking analysis at all.
And that's absolutely correct in the plain error context in which Buckland was written. But here we have harmless error review.
What difference does that make?
Well, I think it makes a huge difference because now the government is forced to show harmless error, that there was harmless error beyond a reasonable doubt. I don't think that translates
to... That assumes that there's a violation.
Correct. And it's of course our position that there is a violation because the jury did not ever make an explicit drug quantity amount.
Well, you know, in Buckland, in Judge Trott's majority en banc opinion in Buckland, within that section where he's talking about stacking, he goes on to note that first, in calculating sentences in drug quantity cases, two separate findings of drug quantity must be made, one under the relevant statute. And then another under the guidelines. Apprendi dictates that drug quantity under the statute must be found by the jury. But Apprendi does not alter the authority of the judge to sentence within the statutory range provided by Congress. And that's what happened here with Hunter resentencing.
And my response would be two points.
That's the majority opinion by an en banc court.
Yes, Your Honor. And my response to that is twofold. Number one, Judge Trott's opinion was – that portion of Judge Trott's opinion was dicta. At that point, the Court had already made its decision.
Just an alternative holding, though. Again, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But under our precedent, that is not a dicta if the Court says, in addition to this one ground, alternatively, we're holding on a second ground.
And Your Honor, that goes to my second point. The second point being, even assuming that this is binding authority, that we can look back to the statute as it applies to the sentencing. Again, we go back to this 841b1d and what the jury did find. The jury found per count guilt of this catch-all statute, which doesn't allow a jury quantity finding to be over 49 grams. I see that I have a minute and a half remaining. I'd ask that I can retain that for a vote. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. My name is Lori Sook, and I'm an assistant from Great Falls, Montana. Apprendi does not forbid the sentencing court from finding existence of sentencing factors, including drug quantity, by a preponderance of evidence. What it forbids is sentences above a statutory maximum. And in this case, Judge Shandstrom sentenced Mr. Hernandez by stacking as set forth in the Buckland decision, and none of the counts of conviction, their statutory maximums were exceeded. In this case, the sentences were based on a drug quantity finding that was the same drug quantity finding that this Court affirmed sentences for with co-conspirators. 5G1.2D mandates that the Court, if there is a guideline calculation that requires the Court to look at stacking for total punishment purposes, to do so. And that's what Judge Shandstrom did in this case. He also supported his sentence by clear
under the quantity determination here that Judge Shandstrom found, which is 1,000 kilos. And I think after you do all the calculations and whatnot, he ended up at a level, was it 38 or 41?
It was actually 38, although there was a mistake in the record at 39. But it was actually 38. 2 points for having distributed in a prison facility,
right.
And then 4 points for manager leader to bring it up to the 38.
And they grouped all the offenses together, if I'm not mistaken. So he ended up, I think, according to the transcript, the judge said that under the guidelines, because he was a career offender, it was 360 to life.
That's correct.
And on any one count, it would have been maximum of 120 months.
On the drug counts and then 240 right. months on the money laundering counts for that particular case.
So he had a on the drug counts, he had a possible 360 under the guidelines to life.
Yes.
And he thought within the guidelines he should hit the middle range. So then he stacked to get there.
Well, I think
that's
the
way I understand what he did.
I think he wanted to hit life, Your Honor, and I think that's what he did by stacking. I don't think he was trying to hit the middle of the range. I think he was hitting life.
Hitting life.
And he did so by he could have done a number of calculations to get there, but that's how he got there. And I think support.
Well, in this context, I think stacking was probably a permissible way to do it.
Exactly. And I think, as well, he supported his decision by sound reasons, acknowledging that the guideline range exceeded 24 months. He set forth the reasons for his sentence. I really have nothing more to say on the issue unless there are questions from the panel.
I just have one question.
Yes, Your Honor.
It arises from opposing counsel's argument. In fact, the jury instructions did repeat the counts which had drug amounts charged in them, didn't they?
They did, yes.
But the verdict form, which I don't have in front of me, came back with no amount.
That's correct. In fact, in accordance with how they were, the cases were being done, the jury was actually instructed you don't have to find amount, just a detectable or measurable amount of marijuana.
Right. That's all I have.
Okay.
Anything else? All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
And just to conclude and summarize, Your Honors, I realize this is a novel argument. This is also a novel position that the defense stands in. We have harmless error review, and we have a new way of being able to examine this as proposed by the defense. Essentially, what we're asking is that this court be constrained, that the district court drug quantity findings be constrained by the limits of what the jury actually found. The jury actually found that which had Mr. Hernandez's drug quantity fall within this 841 B1D catch-all quantity. 49 is the maximum that can be found under that provision. We ask that
you're saying you want the judge, when he makes the sentencing guideline calculation, to be constrained by what the jury found on the offense?
As to drug quantity. Yes, Your Honor. As to drug quantity.
Isn't there a different standard, like that the on the first one, the jury has to find it beyond a reasonable doubt, but when the judge makes his sentencing guideline calculation, it's preponderance of the evidence?
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. But one thing that did come out of Buckland is that the jury, is that drug quantity is, in fact, an element of the offense that has to be found beyond a reasonable doubt. when that's translated to the sentencing guideline calculation, it's our position that the district court is constrained by that finding.
Thanks, Ms. Hammond.
All right. Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And the case of United States versus Hernandez is submitted. United States versus Ameline has been submitted on the briefs, and we will turn to Safe Air for Everyone versus Wayne Meyer et al.